for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, December the 28th, 2013. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the separateness of the saints.
Amen. Brother Nikki Pinson, would you please come? And you've got the rest of the morning. Amen.
Glory to God. Praise God. I brought a calendar here. What does that say? Any of you deprived people that don't live in Texas, I've got one for you here. Praise God. I just got to say that. Praise God. I love Arkansas. Praise God. I really do. For years and years, we take our family to Eureka Springs, and I love that place. Praise God. It's not like it used to be, though. I came, I have some sermons that I knew that worked on, and I knew they were for here. But before I left the church, I went up to the pulpit. I stick all my old notes under the, I've got a stack under there. And that's just recent, but I felt impressed to bring along. I've been preaching to our church a series on the separateness of saints. And if you get our email, read from this table, you've seen notes on it or on our website. And but I know this morning this is what God wants. So we're going to look at the separateness of saints and talk about Abraham. Father, we thank you. You love these people. Oh, Lord, you love this place. You love these people. Lord, you want to talk to our hearts. Praise you. You want to talk to my heart. And we ask for your help this morning, your anointing, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the separateness means to keep apart or to divide, as by an intervening barrier or space to separate two fields by a fence. That's an example. Separateness means to set apart, disconnect, disassociate, to remove or sever from association, to part company, to withdraw from personal association. Are you hearing this? To draw apart, to come apart, to become divided, disconnected, or detached, to take or go in different directions, such as we have to separate at the crossroad. Separateness means to be detached, disconnected, or disjoined, unconnected, being or standing apart, distant or dispersed, existing or maintained independently, not shared, to sever, sunder, split, to be secluded, to be isolated. I really believe in living a hidden life. Hear me. I believe in living a hidden life. You don't have to get out there and be a part of everything and let everybody know your business. The more time you do, you spend doing that, the less time you have with God and for God to speak to you. We're not going to heaven in a, I hope you understand what I'm saying, in a group. We're going individually, though, in a, you know what I'm saying. For you can't hang on to somebody and get there. It's not because you're going to be part of the group that you're going to go. But individually, every one of us are going to heaven if we go there. And or to hell. Now, in Acts, we're talking about Abraham. In Acts 7:3, when Stephen is making his defense before the Sanhedrin, he's talking about Abraham, recounting Abraham's life. You know, it's so interesting. You're reading along in Genesis, and you read Adam and Eve, you read Noah, and then you get to this man, Abraham. And from there on, throughout the rest of that book, the Bible, is Abraham. what God's doing through Abraham and his descendants, including the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this is Acts 7:3 is very important to me because when I was a 12-year-old boy growing up in Dallas in a church there, I was asking God what he wanted me to be. And we had a missionary for a service, and they called us down to the altar, and I was praying, and I've been asking God this, and I heard Acts 7:3. Maybe the first time I ever heard God's voice, but not audibly, but, you know, inwardly. I think I might trust the inward voice more than I would an outward voice. And so I went back, sat down, got my Bible, and I opened up Acts 7:3. Didn't know what it said. And it says, "Get thee out of thy land and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show unto you." If God's going to work in your life, he's going to work on those principles. Get out from and come where I'm showing you. And that's not just physical locations. Well, I didn't like it because I didn't... I said, no, I like home. I don't want to go. You know, I thought, well, he's called me to be a missionary. And in fact, for 25 years, I've gone to Mexico and preached and I love it. Built a church 500 miles in Mexico. I've obeyed the voice of God. I live about 80 miles from where I grew up, but I might as well be 800, 8,000 miles and from family and so forth. So it doesn't mean you have to go halfway around the world to come out. I've read of men of God, and I'm sure women of God, that travel with groups, and they'd get up in the middle of the night and get behind the curtain and separate themselves unto God. You can do it, praise God. Last time we were here, I was... laying on the floor praying early in the morning. My grandson got up and he saw me come out of the back. "Oh, Grandpa, what's wrong?" Well, I said, I'm okay. Praise God. I'm glad he cared about me. Praise God. But we can separate ourselves in the middle of the crowd. Praise God. But sometimes we have to come away from the crowd. Now, there has to be a separation from sin. We know that. And sinners. But there also is a separation unto God for the work of God. Paul and Barnabas, they're ministering there and unto the Lord. And the Holy Spirit speaks and says, "Separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do." So that's another separation. And then for the work of God, God told Moses, "You separate the Levites. Separate them out for the work that I have for them." And I believe every one of us are to be separated out for the work that God has for us. You cannot run with the crowd, folks. You cannot run with this world and be effective for God. It's not going to happen. Now, so I'm going to begin in Genesis 13:1, and I'll read other passages of Scripture, but Genesis 13:1, the 13th chapter is where we'll be mostly. And it says, Abraham, I'm just going to call him Abraham instead of Abram. I know his name at that time was Abram. Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Now the south, it doesn't mean they went south from Egypt, but south of Canaan. Because everything in the Word of God is referenced, as far as location, is referenced from Israel, you understand that. And even from Jerusalem, you ascend or you descend, meaning everything is, Jerusalem's the center of all of it. So, in reference to the land of promise. Now, and it says, Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Now, one result of Abraham going down into Egypt, down meaning reference from Cana, down into Egypt during the famine in Canaan instead of trusting the Lord. One result was that there his wife Sarah obtained an Egyptian maid named Hagar. Now, we have to talk about this because he should stay there and trusted God. If God puts you somewhere, God can take care of you there. I don't care how scary it looks. I mean, if he's feeding you with a raven and water out of the brook, God can keep you, or a widow woman taking care of you. Now, Hagar, she brought Hagar back. You know Hagar. Hagar introduced into Abraham's household. Strife, jealousy, very much trouble. And the end of all of it being seen in Ishmael, her son, with Abraham. Oh my, did they do that? Yes, they did that. And when you know if they'd have never brought that woman out, Hagar, never brought her out, perhaps that would have never happened. When you go where God didn't send you, you things attached to you, people that you're going to have to deal with. Now, we know that he mocked Isaac, Sarah, and Abraham's son. Now, Ishmael was a product of the flesh because of impatience with God. Oh, God help us. Impatience with God. While Isaac was a product of the promise of God, which has to be waited on. 25 years. The other thing that Abraham obtained was cattle and riches. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." When you get your eyes on a better car, and it's I'd like to have a better car right now, but the one I have, I had to believe God when I took off for here, and he'll get me back. Praise God. Abraham was not rich because of his lust, though. That's what I'm trying to say, but because God gave Abraham very much cattle and riches. God did that. Where did you get yours? Lot was very blessed with his association with his uncle Abraham. But he wanted to become rich himself. All that Lot had was because of his uncle. But he wanted to be rich himself. Now, chapter 13, verse 3. "And he went on his journey." Abraham went on his journeys from the south to Bethel. His journeys. I love that. You read in Hebrews 11, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. By faith. I hope every one of us this morning are sojourning by faith, whatever God's called us to. "To the place where his tent had been at the beginning, from between Bethel and Hea, to the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord." Now, separateness requires this. You look at this man, Abraham. When it's all going to be said and done, he will be by himself. I mean, God called him out from his kindred. And so he comes out of Ur of Chaldees, and his father's with him, and his nephew. Apparently, Lot's father has passed. And as he goes along in this process, people are dropping off until God gets him by himself. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude came with him. And you know what trouble that mixed multitude caused him. The lusting after the things that were back in Egypt. So again, as you're trying to journey along with God in separateness, people are going to try to attach themselves to you. And you have to be very careful. That's a warning. Very careful. Now, separateness requires an altar. It requires living by faith instead of our own devices. When I was young, pastoring the first church I pastored, there was a missionary came through, and he said he was taking all his... He was a butcher here in the States, and he was going to take all his tools with him in case he got hungry and the support wasn't there. He'd, take care of himself. I don't know, but even at a young age, I thought, if you're going to start out with that kind of attitude and thoughts, that's probably what you're going to end up having to do. You can abandon yourself to God, or you can take your stuff with you, to provide for yourself. Now, separateness to God means we cast ourselves upon God alone. Is that where you're at this morning? Is that where you're at this morning? Praise God, in everything you're dealing with. Now, there's value in returning to the beginning of our obedience to the voice of God, especially to the memory of the beginning of our decision and our commitment to separate ourselves. Come out from it. God told Abraham. Follow the call of God on our life. At this altar, Abraham repented of going down to Egypt. That's what it was about. During that recent famine, rather than trusting the Lord, by returning to the place of the altar. I love that. I just love that phrase. The place of the altar. Where's your place of your altar? You have one? If it's a barn, the woods, if it's in a closet, where do you have a place? And I'm not talking just about your car going to work. That's the only altar you've got. You're missing it. I mean, what if the Holy Ghost came on you, started shaking, or
whatever, what you're going to do then, you know. You need that place where God can come and touch your body. And you yield to Him, praise God. You might need to dance, you know. Of course, you could pull over on the side of the road and get out and dance, but they might be picking you up. Praise God. But you need an altar. Amen? Well, the place of the altar. Now, He's saying that He wants above all, going back to that place of the altar, that He wants above all to get back on track with God. Thank God that He's merciful and gives us these opportunities to get back on track. Maybe you're here this morning at this camp. You're wanting to get back on track with God. Thank God. Praise God. Don't be condemned over getting off the track. Just get back to God and go on. It's good to tell people, yes, you messed up here, but look at what God has done. And look how far you have come with Him. Praise God. The devil doesn't want you to think about it. He just wants you to see your failures. Now, he wants to get back on track with the Lord, the Lord's will for his life. Now, the altar is important to Abraham. Abraham is saying that he wants above all to do this. He calls on the name of the Lord there. And the Lord always answers him. I like that. You know that? The Lord always answers him. Sometimes the Lord answers with silence. Praise God. Because we already know the answer. We just need to go do what he told us to the last time. You know what you do when you don't know what to do next? You keep doing what the last thing he told you to do. That's as simple, isn't it? Praise God. You don't move till the cloud moves. If the cloud's not moving, you stand still. Praise God. Well, I could be out there fighting the enemy. Well, praise God. Not unless he wants you to. What about God calling you apart to himself? You know, when he called the disciples, it says to be with him, and then he sent them out. You must have that seclusion, that isolation with God, if you're ever going to be effective for God. Now, sometimes we can't hear his answer because we have our own agenda, though. Isn't especially being a pastor, but most probably everyone in here knows that. They'll come by, what do you think about this? And if you give them the answer they want, then they're okay. If they don't, they go to the next person. I mean, if they'll call another pastor. They'll call Aunt Susie. They'll call somebody. Because somebody agrees with what they want to do. Now, the Scripture does not record Lot, ever record Lot building an altar. Ever. He's dependent on Abraham building an altar. Or maybe he doesn't even want to build an altar. I'm telling you what, this man, Lot's sucking the life out of Abraham, isn't he? He really is. Who's sucking the life out of you? Now, call upon the name of the Lord. I'm not talking about your little children. You have a responsibility there. I'm talking about these adults, even adult children. Praise God. Stop there. Now, verse 5. And Lot also Lot, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. I already told you where he got them from, by association with Abraham. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Now, I believe God's behind all that. I really do. And when things look good, it could be they're good because God's going to bring a change in your life. I'm saying good or bad, either way. Don't get it. Why is it we're so willing to accept the good? But when he brings difficult things, and we're crying and bawling and complaining and murmuring. Verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite, the Pezerite, dwelled or shared then in the land. They were also there. Now this scripture provides an example of the result of Lot desiring to make himself rich. It's played out in the strife between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants. Now, let me say, God has called some to have the means to distribute to others. He's called some to do that. To bless others. Financially. And some he's called to test those that have the means. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe you're one of the ones that God's called to test the ones that have means to see what they're going to do. If they're going to say, well, blessed and go on your way and be warned, or if they're going to give you because they have this world's needs. You catching that? There's a lot of responsibility. The more God blesses you with, I'm talking about substance and stuff and things, the more responsibility you have, and you better know that. Mm-hmm. It bothers me, and I'm saying that it bothers me to see Christians living like a king. When there's so many people hurting in the work of God, and you're sucking it all up, and you're living like a king. You've got stuff nobody else could even, a lot of people couldn't dream of having. Why? And how do you compare that? Or you look at Jesus, didn't even have a donkey to ride on, had to borrow somebody's donkey. Nowhere to lay his head, and you're living like a king or a queen. And if that bothers you, I'm me saying that you need to be bothered. I'm gonna let me tell you this: when you go out of this world, you better go with nothing. I serve on a committee half for years, 30 years, and we oversee other churches, and I'm the secretary treasurer. But we have churches that have thousands and thousands of dollars in the bank. Praise God. We're hoping we get money in the bank to cover the last bill we pay. But it's called living by faith. But they're sitting on this tremendous amount of money. I mean hundreds of thousands of them. And I'm going to say something else. I don't think a church should I don't think a church building should be cost that much.
Amen.
With the stained glass windows and the junk they've got and the you can have church under an oak tree. Where I live, you can have under a bodark tree. Anybody know what a bodark tree is? You're blessed with picking up those big round green things at a certain time of year. Did you know there's a male bodark and a female bodark? Well, there is. Praise God. Okay, praise God. I'm just telling you. Well, you'll know if you have. You'll know. Praise God. Now, I'm just telling you, you can have church wherever the Spirit of the Lord is.
That's right.
And quit. How does this look to the world? When we've got these family life worship center, or family worship. What are you worshiping? The family? Yeah. Life. You know, all these stupid names they give them. Pretty strong, isn't it? Praise God. Didn't mean to say all that, but well, some people, God's blessed to distribute. That's in the Word. Just look in there, in the epistles. Some people, God's blessed to take. You know, they're there. Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. Now, verse 8, and Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, and between my husband and your husband, for we're brothers. When you want to get upset with someone for acting crazy, saying things, stop and think, you're my brother, you're my sister. Back off. Calm down. Praise God. Give it to God. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. And if you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now Lot was just as aware of the strife as Abraham was. Just as aware. But he did nothing to defuse the situation. Before I get through, you're gonna see I'm being hard on Lot. But he didn't do anything. Lot's beginning to assert himself. He shows his intention to be independent of Abraham. But Abraham makes no claim of authority over Lot, even though he had a natural right to do so. Let him go. Just let them go. A long time ago, someone told me this as being a pastor. If someone in your church comes to you, I'm just going to leave. Well, just let them leave. Don't try to talk them into staying. You're making a mistake. First thing, if you do that, then they're going to have power over you. And they learn, hey, that works with brother or sister so-and-so. All I got to do is go threaten to leave, and they're going to give me what I want. I was in a church. Years ago, I was visiting my mother in this little church down the road. And so I always want to be in church, so I went. They have a training union. Now, I'm not naming the name, but they have a training union before church. And so I don't want to get up. But anyway, somewhere in there, they're going to talk about, and I saw it, there was a great division there. And the young people wanted to do this with the church's money, and the old people wanted to do that, which was mostly settled. And so And so one of the older ladies, I kind of knew her, and she got up to, man, you know, you do it my way or I'm leaving. Well, they capitulated and gave in to her, you know. And I had a man come to me one time. We had a black family coming, and we were helping them. We're helping them, but he's paying tithes. You get that picture. He didn't like the man. He was a very prejudiced man, older man. And so he told me, he said, either they go or I go. I said, well, you just do whatever you need to do. I'm not going to be hostage to that kind of stuff. And besides, I have to stand before God. As our brother said last night, he had to give. He has to answer to God for what he says, and we have to answer to God. And well, they left, took their money and left, and then went along with the black family left. You know, praise God. Well, I still did the right thing. We must do the right thing. Well, now the servants reflect their masters. I do not believe that Abraham's servants were at fault in this trial. There had to be a selfishness and a greed in Lot's heart. And if you listen to how he's dealing with his uncle, we see that he's thrown away all respect and honor for his elder and refusing to hold his servants accountable. Now, why did Abraham call for a separation? It was to end the strife. I also believe he saw this coming. I believe he's hearing in his mind, his heart, get thee out of thy land and from thy kingdom. And he's knowing that the day's coming, God's going to separate me from this nephew. Now, I don't know why. Well, I think we could see why Lot has stayed with Abraham, because he's fatherless. He's an orphan. And he stayed not because I don't believe it's because perhaps he wants to serve the same God, but because he doesn't have another choice at the beginning. But now he's beginning to have a choice. You know, he's got some money. He's got some stuff. He can kind of do what he wants to now. Isn't it amazing how money makes people independent? There's a man in our community that he had a dairy. And we had a lot of dairies around that one time. And he had this man work for him. And he absolutely could not let the man off his property, because if he let him off the property, he'd get drunk. And then he'd have to go bail him out of jail because he needed him the milk. And there's just some people, if you let them have a little bit of independence, it's not good for them. And there's a lot of us in here, if God let us have a little bit of independence, it wouldn't be good for us. So he said, why do I always have to be so poor? Because God knows that's the only way you're going to make it. And you have to make, what do you want to do? Make it? You want to make heaven? Praise God. Thank God. Have you ever thanked God for being poor?
Amen.
Praise God. Instead of murmuring about it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I drive over in the north part of Dallas, north side of Dallas, and I'm driving this, and I look over there and look at what they're driving at, BMW and Lexus and this and that, you know, and I know I'm out of place. Praise God. But I got to get through there. When I go to our family reunion, I park down there where they can't see what I'm driving. Because I got to go past their Cadillacs and all the stuff they've got. If you're driving a Cadillac, that's wonderful. Somebody give me one, you know, I might drive it. But actually, I had one when I was young. I had one. I had lost my job. I lost my fancy vehicle. That was God working in me. And so I ended up, I was painting for this preacher, and he paid me with a hot check, several hot checks. Well, he traded them for an old 55 Cadillac he had. It was, anybody ever saw one? They're as big as a tank. I mean, they're huge. But he let me, that way I had transportation. And it was a good experience for me, praise God. It was very good. Humbling experience. You ever thank God for humbling you? One time I got a ticket for running a stop sign, and I didn't live in that town. I did not see the thing. It was sitting up there in the grass up there. I mean, honestly, it was. And everybody, and as soon as here comes this guy off this side of the street, it's right near a great big university there, Texas A&M University, and in Commerce. And so they said, yeah, it's a trap. Everybody in town knows it. But, you know, I didn't live in that town. So when I went to court, the room was packed. And the city judge, and I was the first one, oh, God set you up. So I come up there and talking to me. I said, well, if you really want people to stop, why don't you put that sign where people can see it? And this woman is a woman. She come down on me, threatened me with contempt of court, all kinds of things. And so I just ducked down and paper cut out. As I'm going to my truck, I said, thank you, Jesus. I know what this is all about. I know you're cutting me down to size. I needed it, praise God. Hallelujah. So one time I was coming through customs, coming back to the United States, and there's this young man from our church. And his father and mother were illegal, but he wasn't. And when we come through, this man said, "Are your parents legal?" Well, it was none of his business where his parents were legal, not he was. But he said, "If you ever come back through here again with this boy, I'm gonna confiscate your truck, everything you got." Well, he couldn't. I knew he couldn't. But you know what? You don't argue with him. Because if you want to waste some hours sitting there when you want to get home, you shut up, yes sir, you know, and go on your way. Praise God. Now, humbling ourselves. Well, let's get back here. Now, 2 Timothy 2:24 tells us, servant of the Lord must not strive. Must not strive. If you're going to be in ministry, you can't have an angry spirit. You cannot be blowing off at people and getting them straight and all this kind of Now, so we see which one of these two men is a true servant of God. It's Abraham. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, have lived peacefully with all men. All men. All men. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger or strife. I try to live by that. Praise God. It works. Oh, it works. Don't get in the flesh. Remember grievous words. Now back to verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes. Whose eyes are we looking through? And behold, he beheld all the plain of Jordan, which was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come to Zoar. Now, come to Zoar. Now, where had Lot been? Egypt. With Abraham. Now, all Lot got out of Egypt was looking at that land, how well watered it was in Egypt. And he sees Jordan and says, whoa, this is good. Sarah got Hagar, and Abraham was chastened for going there. That's what they got out of going down there. Now, Lot chose for him all the plain of Jordan. He chose for himself. Who's choosing for you? He chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed. But his journeying wasn't like we read about Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. By faith he sojourned. Lot journeys, sojourns by his own devices. And they separated themselves the one from the other. Now faith is required to let God choose for you by means of allowing someone else to choose first. That's faith. Rather than stepping in demanding our rights. Well, they're not going to do me that way. Why? Just let them. Praise God's in charge. Don't you believe God's in charge of your business? In honor of preferring others over ourselves. I used to teach that to my sons. You know, about riding in the front seat. Shotgun, they call it. And I tell them, in honor of preferring one, you know what they'd say? They learn this. They say, get out of that car and honor me. Get out of that seat. That's how they turn that thing around. Praise God. I remind them of that every once in a while. Now, Lot had an opportunity here to deal with a strife and remain with Abraham, but instead he saw this as his golden opportunity. Get away from this man. Get away where he can't see what I'm doing, who I'm with, to become independent, to increase his wealth, to improve his and his family's lifestyle. You know, I've heard people say that. God wants me to give my family the best. The best. Oh, really? What are you talking about when you say the best? well, Christmas comes around, I want them to open the best presents. I want my kids to have the best education. I want my kids to dress the best. I want, really, where is God in all of this? Oh, God wants me to. I have someone very dear to me, and I cannot, in case they ever hear this, but they emailed me and said, you're preaching erroneous doctrine, because I was preaching about suffering our way into kingdoms. You know the scripture says that. Through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. And they said, God wants me to prosper. Really? Does he? I'll tell you what, God wants you to prosper in his word, in his spirit, in the power of God, and those things. And it's okay. One time I was preaching for our presbyter, and I did not know they'd bought him a brand new car. And so I've preached like this all my life now. Enough, you got enough, quit getting more, unless you're going to give it away. Can God give it through you, or do you damn it up and keep it, you know? Are you hoarding it? And I was preaching about preachers driving new cars. And I noticed it got really quiet in there. I mean, quiet, praise God. Later on, never mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God wants me to have the best that I can provide. If we desire the things of the world, I need to tell you this. One time there was a young lady in our church and her husband, and he, I don't even know if he had a background in church, but he came and he'd come and stand that prayer line and pray for him. God would touch him, tears roll down, but he was a car salesman. And he got a new boss. It was, I don't know if I can, how much I can say, but anyway, he went to another kind of church. And this man began to get a hold to this young man. And they don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe, certainly don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't believe in healing. They don't believe in miracles. But he was really having an influence over the employee. And so the wife came and was talking to me, and God gave me a word for it. I said, look, I want you to know where this is going. You need to be aware and make a decision. She was resisting. The man was, his boss was trying to get him in his church, want to come talk to her, all these kind of things. And she said, no, she knew better than that. And I said, you need to know this is going to cost your marriage. You need to think about it. Well, it did. I mean, these people, so righteous people, didn't care if they broke up a marriage. That bothers me. But when she's in the hospital from surgery, he had her served with her divorce papers. And so now she has no income, and she's got a house she's paying for and a car. She moved a friend, an ungodly friend in, a lady. And she's got a job now. She's not coming to church anymore. And I went and I talked to her. Man in the church went, you always go to. And I stand on the porch talking to her. And I said, you don't need to be doing this. God could give you a job where you didn't have to miss church. I mean, this is disaster. And she looked out at her car and looked, well, Brother Vincent, I can't lose all this. I can't lose this. Well, that's the end of her church career, you know. It really was. What have you got that you think you can't lose? If it came to a choice between that and God. See, most of us sitting here, though, we think we can have them both. We think we can have it both. Don't you know God's going to try you down to the fine points and things? Don't you know that? Don't you know it may come to a choice between your car and God? Oh, no, I can have them both. Well, just go in and think that. You're deceived. Praise God. Anything God puts his finger on, you better let go of it. If you have to let go of everything. I'm going to tell you something, because people have. You know, John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. They said they kept saying, if you got a family. You know, he had a blind daughter, even. And they didn't have all these social programs to take care of the family. And said, that say, don't you need to go home and take it? If you'll just quit preaching, you'll quit preaching. You can go home and take it. You're a bad man. You're a bad father. You're a bad husband. You're not taking care of your children. And he said there's a demon-possessed man that all would come and throw the food at him. And this is hard. But he made a decision. Some of you think he's wrong. How about if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs? When you read in there, and they said, you don't deny Christ, we're going to take all the children. We're going to start with the oldest right in front of your eyes and take them. And they said, I can't deny Christ. Some of you think they're wrong. We don't know what's going to come to here in this nation. Well, separation. Now, ambitious people will always function in the sphere of strife. Because ambition necessitates grabbing, snatching, clutching in order to elevate ourselves above our present position in life and ministry. If we desire the things of this world, there'll be strife rather than peace. And Lot's destined for much strife. Is that right? Do we know that now? Because he's a man of strife. Philippians 2:3 says that we're to have the mind of Christ and take upon ourselves the form of the servant and humble ourselves, praise God, even unto death. Now it's good for Abraham and the plan of God that Lot separated himself from the man of God. He was good. It was good. To follow or attach to a man or woman of God is to be proven or tested. It'll be proven or tested. Not just a profit or benefit. People that, if you're a man or woman of God, and people attach themselves to you, that connection is going to be proven or tested. Look, John Mark, following Paul, and he went back home. And you look at Demas, and he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So I just want to tell you, if you're trying to connect with someone, and Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But if you're going to do that, that's going to be tested. You're going to be tested in that. Now, when the proper time comes, God will bring about circumstances that we might not understand, that we disagree with, that are painful, but all things work together for good to them who are called according to the purpose of God. Love God and called according to His purpose. Now, Genesis 13:12, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before God exceedingly. The next time we hear of Lot, though, he's living in Sodom. But that's to be expected when we pitch our tent towards a place. For by doing so, we indicate where we desire and intend to end up at. I was in Nuevo Laredo one time, and I was walking down the street there with a pastor's brother-in-law, and he was an excellent preacher himself. In fact, we had him come up and preach a revival for us, and I was walking beside him, very handsome young man. We're walking down the street, and I don't know how much you go to Mexico, but the women there dress, and they, a lot of it is provocative. That's the only way to describe it. And so we're walking by, and this young lady walks by, and she looks like that, and his head turns like that. And I saw that. I said, whoa. Well, you know what he ended up doing. He ended up with a woman, with kids, lost. He's still out. This is years ago. He's still out. What you're looking at and what you're pitching your tent towards and what you're looking on the internet at and what you're reading and what TV programs you watch and what movies you watch tells a lot about what you are. And you might not can get your hands on it, but in your heart you are. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Now, let me ask you this first. Why would a righteous man, the Bible says he's a righteous man, why would he deliberately choose to dwell with wicked sinners? Why? 2 Corinthians 6:14. If we don't do this here, obey this, we'll never make it. We will never make it. I don't care how much you shout, dance, give an offering, read your Bible, or whatever else you do. Or I do. Be you not unequally yoked together, or joined, or bound together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Why do you watch some of the programs you watch? Blood, guts, sex. Why? You know the scripture says God hates violence? And you're sitting there watching. I don't know where I was at the other day, and I said, you need to turn that off. And they're laying there, two of them, the mom and dad, and the blood's all over the place. And God hates violence. Why do you like it? I just like to take some people and shake them. Why? How do you excuse it? I hope I'm talking to someone in here this morning. You need to repent of that. If you can't handle it, sell it. Cut off the satellite or cable or whatever. Praise God. For what a man's overcome with. Are you overcome with that? Or won't? Now, what communion has light with darkness? Let me say this. I need to say this. If you send the kids to bed so you can watch something, you ought to know you're doing something wrong. Amen? Now, what communion has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be you separate. Says who? Says the Lord. You're either going to obey that or disobey. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now listen. What does that mean? It means if you won't come out and be separate, and if you do touch the unclean thing, then he will not be a father to you, and you will not be his child. It doesn't matter if you sing in the choir. Instead of coming out from among them, righteous Lot moves in with him, becomes unequally yoked with him. Scripture says he sat in the gate of Sodom, which means he was basically on the city council. You know, later on when he tried to defend the angels that came, and they said, who made you a judge over us? Oh, they're letting him be a judge. He had all this cattle and riches, you know, and they like, you know, that'll get you some places. But they resented that man. And there are people letting you do things, but they resent you. What fellowship did Lot have with the wicked sinners of Sodom? What communion? The act of sharing or holding in common or communication, participation did Lot have with the wicked sinners of Sodom? Lot, what are you doing there? Why are you there? What harmony did Lot have with the wicked sinners of Sodom? What did Lot have in common with the wicked sinners of Sodom? What agreement did Lot have with the wicked sinners of Sodom? How could God dwell in Lot and walk among his family and be his God and Lot and his family be his people when he had joined himself with the wicked sinners of Sodom rather than remaining separate from them? And actually, you couldn't live in Sodom unless you... You know, the scripture says he vexed his soul daily with what he saw and what he heard in that place. He vexed his soul. You know, you might be in a place... I used to work in a grocery store, and when they closed the doors, they turned on that music. My God, you know, it's awful. And I catch myself, you know, the tunes going over in my head. Well, I wasn't... you understand what I'm saying? That was involuntary vexing. But he vexed himself. Nobody made him move there. I'm going to tell you what Lot should have done. When this whole thing came up, he should have sold every animal he had. Said, no, sir, Abraham, I'm sticking with you. The man of God. The man with the promises of God upon his life. That's what he should have done. But he didn't. You know, should have, could have, would have. But he didn't. Now, praise God. You might think you have to be yoked with unbelievers. But Lot made a decision to do this. He methodically implemented his decision. First he's outside, he's creeping in and moving in, just like you are. Just like I have. It's going to bite you. Some may want to make excuses for Lot. You know why? So they can defend their own actions. Claiming he didn't realize what was happening to him. 2 Peter 2:7-8, I already... And God delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed or vexed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented or vexed his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Now Lot chose daily. Day after day. I know the Spirit of God was dealing with him. Why are you doing it? Lot, you need to quit this. I know that. But every day he made a decision to continue to vex his soul. Why are we making those decisions? Every day God's dealing with us. And we keep on doing it. Oh, that's self-will, isn't it? It's really called disobedience. He didn't have to. He vexed his own soul. He vexed the souls of his family. You know, maybe he thought he'd lose too much if he left Sodom. Well, he lost that and more. He lost everything by staying there. I don't think any of us would not realize that our soul was being vexed. Aren't you grieved when you watch that? Aren't you grieved when you look at that? Aren't you grieved when you listen to that? Praise God. I don't know how people walk out of church with worship music and get out there in the car and turn on country and western. The cheating truck driver and the whatever, you know, stuff. I don't know how you do that. How anybody does that. I might be talking to the wrong group here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, also later, we know that Abraham and his servants rescued Lot and his family after they were captured by the enemies of Sodom, and that should have been a wake-up call to Lot. Has God given you any wake-up calls? But instead, he went right back to Sodom. That's where his stuff was. All the games that we play with our soul. And that's what Lot was doing, living off Abraham's relationship with God. In the end, Lot lost everything that he chose over God. Anything you choose over God, you're going to lose it. I promise you, you'll lose it. There was a lady in our church and had two daughters, and she was coming to church, and this is in our old building. And I could still see. I'd lay hands on her. God, touch that woman. I mean, she'd get out that. I mean, she's young, and her daughters, and then her husband. You know, he lived in the community all his life, and he couldn't stand it. His wife was going to a Pentecostal church, and he was embarrassed. And his family was large, and they were influential in the community. And he threatened to say, "If you don't quit going there, I'll divorce you." She quit. Got out. Became mean as a devil, and her daughters disliked her. And the man divorced her. He divorced her. I see him every once in a while. One of the daughters overdosed on drugs and is dead. Now, it could have been different. Could have been different. Praise God. He lost everything. Now, do we think that Lot's wife and two daughters were not accountable for their own actions? Is it all Lot's fault that she turned to a pillar of salt because she disobeyed and looked back? Is it all Lot's fault that his two daughters seduced him in incest there in that cave? Is it all Lot? No, I tell you, they'll give an account too. Lot did not take her neck and turn it around to look. And he did not make his daughters. You know where these daughters got all that stuff? Back in Sodom. And she couldn't stand her stuff going up in flames. You know, my new washing machine and dryer, my microwave, my stuff. Genesis 13:14, the Lord said to Abram, "After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the hole of praise God." I want you to see the reward of separateness right here. Lift up your eyes. Now, Lot lifted up his eyes of his own accord. But the Lord says lift up. It's different when the Lord tells you to. Amen? From the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. There was never such a promise made to Lot. Lot ended up living in a cave. I'll make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that a man can number the dust of the earth, then so shall your seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth or width of it, for I will give it to you. Then Abraham... There's been times in my life these kind of separations have come. I had two assistant pastors leave. They got together, a little conspiracy thing, left, lost almost all our church. But you know what? God gave me this after that. After the separation comes the blessing, folks. Don't be afraid of obeying God and separating from whatever it is, things, people, stuff, jobs. Don't be afraid. Now, I'm not asking anybody to be crazy in here. when I got married, I knew God called me to be a pastor, and I'd worked for a Safeway. Any of you remember that? Brother Merle, you know because you live out there. I worked for Safeway, and I said, well, God, you called me. I'm married now. I'm going to be a pastor. So I went and quit. 2 weeks later, you know, when, how are we going to pay the rent? And I was back in the store where I quit, and the manager said, oh, could you just help me today? Please just help me today. I acted, oh, well, okay. I was, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I worked for him, I think, another 11, 12 years I worked for him. And praise God. So now, I'm saying some strong things, but you hear from God, okay? There's something you don't have to hear from God. The Word tells you. Don't be doing that. And so God's promise, all these things, is so good after you obey God. And so then it says, Abraham removed his tent, came and dwelt in the land of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. You know, it's not worth going anywhere you can't or won't feel comfortable building an altar. I won't come if I can't build an altar. That's what you need, the attitude you need to have. If I can't bring my altar experience with me, I'm not coming there. You know, I grew up in that church and there are a lot of young people there. And I watched these young girls. I wasn't good enough for any of them. Praise God. But they married all these ungodly boys. And they'd come to church. Well, you know how that goes. They'd come to church for a while. My oldest sister did. Come to church for a while, act religious until they got one of them and married them. And I remember one in particular, and after they married, then he married her because she was so sweet. But it was Jesus that made her sweet, and he didn't like Jesus. Lot never built an altar in Sodom, did he? Or anywhere. If you can't build an altar in there, you need to get out of there. In all history, the people of God are always called apart, always separated out from those that walk according to this world. God has no promise of blessing to us until we separate ourselves and come out from among them. Sometimes others that we have a relationship with, they change. And we may not be aware of the change. Lot changed. As far as we can see, Lot changed. But not Abraham. Lot grew cold in his walk with God, if he ever really had his own walk with God. But Abraham remained, the scripture says, strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham, the chosen of the Lord, is now moving along, isolated from all associations of his kindred. That's what God called him to. The separate saints of God turn from the advice and the comfort of their family and friends, from their own advice and comfort, and from the advice and comfort of this world to an altar of the Lord. An altar of the Lord. A mindset like Moses. Lord, if you go not with us, then carry us not up from here. We don't want to go if you're not going to take us. Saying, Lord, your presence means more to me than obtaining anything, including promises you have made to me. Hear that. These men died in the faith not having received the promises. Don't get angry with God because what you thought and probably he did promise you is not happening. Your relationship is more important than those promises. Praise God. Move safely. Praise God. Praise God. If security, safety, food arrangement, no, God's presence means more than any of that. None of us will ever be or have what God intends us to be or to have unless we become separated unto God and maintain our separateness at all personal cost to us and cost to others. Well, Lord, if I do this, what you're telling me, what's it going to do to them? You leave them to God. You're not their God. You let God take care of that. You do what God tells you to do. Well, they'll whine and cry. They'll accuse you. They'll say, you don't love me. You don't do this. You don't do that. Please, I'm not talking about anybody go home and get a divorce. It's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about things that this a young man in our church, and he finally got married to the girl, and she's given him a lot of problems. And he said, well, I just don't think I need to marry. This is not... I said, no, you already have a child with her. You have a child with you. You need to man up and take care of your responsibility. It's past that now. You already been living with her. Now you need to do what you need to do. And he did, and sure enough, trouble stayed with God. God answered some things last week or week before. God really did some things for him. Praise God. We must be willing to offend and even hurt others before we would ever, ever, even for a second, offend God or hurt God. Don't offend God. Don't hurt God. Hurt everybody else, but not God. Praise God. Now, I see I have a few minutes left here, and I do want to pray for some. Let's just praise God and wait on God here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. God, I ask you, Father. Praise God, please. Please help us this morning, God. Praise God. It's all right if I walk this way. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
You'll never regret obeying God, but you sure will regret disobeying Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're open for the gifts of the Holy Spirit offering. Is that right? God gives you the word, message in tongues. Praise God. If it's from God, it's not. We'll let you know. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. We give you time. We give you space, Lord God.
You're not here by accident. He's calling you. He is saying, come out from among them and be holy, as I am holy. I am building a temple. It is made from those who love me, from those who obey me, from those who want to spend eternity with me. There are many I've called, and they've gone back, because they wouldn't pay the price. What is the price? The price is everything. I gave my son for you. I created all of this for you. And now I say to you, give me everything. Do not withhold anything, because that is idolatry. I am a jealous God. I require your heart, your mind. I've redeemed you. I'm bringing you to me, to a higher level of purity and separateness, saith the Lord. What I require is that you bow down to me and let me have my way in your life. And then you will experience true life, eternal life, in my kingdom with me forever.
I believe, as much as I want to lay hands on people and pray for you, and I believe we need to make an altar of prayer. If you can kneel, would you turn around and kneel? If you can, just sit there. Let's seek God. Let's seek. I may come around and lay hands on someone while you're praying. Nobody leaving, nobody moving around. It's not intermission time. God, we seek your faith. Would you call out to God? Praise God. Call out to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.